how you're doing on the football field. So, anyway, two shout-outs on the way out. Tony, I want to know first how Lambert's Steelers, how bad they're going to get beat tomorrow night. And two, if you want free money, go play Big Dame Bradshaw at Cherokee. See ya.
Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in, as I remind you.
Let's not pretend like Missouri's a horrible job either. They did go to back-to-back SEC championship games like 2 years
with
ago.
With
you can win there.
With a what? Staff that does what?
Recruits a bunch of three-stars.
Oklahoma hangs on and defeats TCU tonight 30-29.
TCU went for two instead of going into overtime.
I know that.
Bino, you have a thought on that?
Well, I think that he felt like that his team was outmanned right now without Boykin, and he just decided to try to win the game with one play. I don't blame him.
Is that the second straight week that Oklahoma has benefited from the lack of a quarterback, or am I seeing things? Didn't that happen with Baylor and Oklahoma?
Yes.
They played a freshman quarterback. Yes.
Yeah, Baylor lost their quarterback.
Yes. Oklahoma is having a 98 Vol season right now. Like, the world's opened up to them. That game in Neyland Stadium is one of the luckiest damn things I've ever seen. Okay? I mean, let's just call it what it is.
How about Baylor? They lost their quarterback. Then they lost the freshman quarterback. They replaced him today. They bring in their third stringer and still beat Oklahoma State.
Gargantuan, loudmouth Oklahoma State fan that taunted me in Vegas when Florida beat us, get you some of that, people.
And he's listening tonight to your Smart Way Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Tennessee Sports Medicine Group, John Krusenklaus and those folks. Man, what a tremendous job these folks do at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. And they just have a different approach. You're going to be hearing about it on The Daily Show. They just have a different approach to the way they get folks back to health. And the truth is, there's a lot of education that goes into what they do. There's a lot of patience that goes into working with their patients. There's a lot of know-how. And they go the extra mile for you. You want to experience the difference? Check out Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. They help me. They help my lovely bride. They've helped my son. And they can help you. And I'm just going to tell you, experience the difference. And there's a listener tonight who was at the listener watch party who came up to me and said, Tony, I've heard you talking about those folks. He said, for the last decade, my life has been shots and pills for my knee issue. He said, I didn't think it could ever go away. They've got him working. They've worked on his range of motion. He says he's worlds better. He is strengthening now the muscles around his injury where he wasn't before. He's not taking the injections and the pills like he was. Just a different approach. Tennessee Sports Medicine Group, 2260 Sutherland Avenue. Online at 10sportsmed.com. You can also see the link at tonybasilio.com to get in touch with them. So Oklahoma hangs on and wins. They're climbing into playoff contention, guys. Oklahoma is. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. And Sonny Dykes is going crazy over on the sidelines as Stanford is trucking his cow guys right now. Let's get our next phone call in. Hello and welcome on a victorious Tennessee Sunday morning now. Good morning and welcome on your Smart Way Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, Tony, Bino, Russell, it's Westchester. How are we doing, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Russell will vouch for this, and Tony, you remember me well enough to know that I'm the most negative guy that, well, maybe besides Small Mike and Small Mike version 2, Jamie, but I'm pretty negative, but I'll tell you what, I'm pretty sure I just watched Butch Jones' signature win. And the reason that I say that is that not that we beat a bad offensive team, not that we had an SEC road win, is that if we had lost this game, then I fear that we would have had another monkey on the back as far as like Florida goes, as just a team we just can't beat for whatever reason. And I just think that this was a signature win. This is a much bigger win than most people want to realize it is. I mean, not only does it get us to, you know, potential for eight wins, but I don't know that if we hadn't beat them this year that we, you know, I figure this is like Florida about, you know, 8 years ago that we lost the game we shouldn't have. And this is a huge win. I mean, we're not giving this win enough credit. We're not giving Bush enough credit for this win. I mean, everything says going into this game, besides some Vegas point spread, that we should have lost.
Agreed.
And somehow we found a way to win it.
Agreed. And they were never in the game. It was, and you're right. To me, degree of difficulty-wise, this game is much more difficult than that Georgia game in your building. That Georgia game in your building was one where you're playing a team you've played very well in Butch Jones's tenure, just haven't beaten them. Even when you were severely outmanned them, you had all these things that said going into that game, win. You had all these things coming into this game tonight that said loss. And Tennessee took it to them. They beat that team up tonight and beat them.
I'm amazed. Switching topics real quick, because I want to get this in before I have to go here. I'll tell you what, if I'm Georgia and I'm LSU, I'm not really sure that I'm going to get rid of either of my coaches. I know Les Miles is having a bad year, and, you know, Rick is about where he usually is about this time of year, but I tell you what, I'm not sure I want to play the game of trying to be the best program with this many jobs open. I mean, I understand that, you know, okay, so, you know, Carolina is a better job than Missouri just for facilities, but, and I understand that LSU is probably a better job than Georgia, and, you know, Georgia is a better job than Carolina or Missouri, but I'm just not sure I want to get into this national hunt this year. I don't know. I mean, like you said, coaches are getting paid stupid salaries. I mean, a coach at Memphis doesn't deserve $3 million. A coach at Houston doesn't deserve $3 million.
Nobody deserves $3 million. It's stupid.
But do you let the market dictate whether or not you get rid of your coach?
Well, I think you're exactly right. And let me tell you this. I had somebody tonight say to me, younger guy, he said, hey, tell me that Virginia Tech's going to come get Butch. I said, well, I'll tell you this. I said, I know what you're thinking to this kid. I said, I'm going to tell you something. Tennessee could do a whole hell of a lot better than Butch Jones. You know how I know that? Because they have the triumvirate of Jimmy Cheek, Davey Boy Hart, and that goofball who comes out once a year when he sees a shadow with Punxsutawney Phil in the middle of the winter and dances around like a little moron. So I know in my heart of hearts that it can be a whole lot worse here. Let that guy go to Tech, and I'll show you the next bum of the month that they drag out of the mothballs.
Oh, we'll bring Kiffin back. What are you talking about?
I mean, damn, man. These people that want to see Butch Jones go, I'm going, yeah, and who would replace him? They tried to hire Charlie Week here, who's such a disaster that he's talking about running down to Miami just to restart his clock.
We sent the pilot plane to pick up Love when we hired Kiffin, and he didn't get on the plane.
He didn't get on the plane. Lovey was on the plane. The plane.
We're not the program we used to be. We can't just
nobody's,
pick our coach anymore.
Here's the thing.
And Georgia can't either. And
no.
Neither can LSU.
No, that's the deal. When Houston and Memphis are paying that kind of money, nobody's the program they used to be.
I'm not sold on that dude at Houston, by the way. He's
exactly.
Been there 1 year.
Nobody's
He's lost
on
a couple
guy
of games.
Exactly. And that's the point. What you have is, and Sinclair says this best, you got five special coaches, and the rest of them are getting rich beyond belief off the backs of those five special coaches who set the market for everybody. And that's the truth. You know what it's like? The PGA Tour with Tiger Woods and without Tiger Woods. You let him retire and let it become a bunch of faceless guys, and you watch the numbers in that sport. You watch and see what happens. And that's the deal.
NASCAR.
And that's exactly right.
Just a bunch of dudes.
And that's exactly right.
Let me say this. Let me say this on my way out. And I'm dead serious when I say this. You know what? Two great coaches played their last home game tonight in Beamer and Biggle. But I tell you what, it'll be a long time before either of them is replaced in full, because that kind of coach, I'm not sure we have that kind of coach anymore. That stays in a program for not Pinkle, but
any
of them. Beamer stays in a program for a long time, and you know, has that kind of respect for the game, you know what, my hat's off to Beamer, and I know he's got our number a time or two, but I'd love to have played him in Bristol next year, and I'm kind of disappointed that he retired, but
thank you.
You know what, I tell you what, that kind of coach is, I don't know, I don't think I'm going to see another one of those coaches in my lifetime get hired from this day forward.
Thank you, Westchester. Yeah, I think you're right. Because the point is, Frank Beamer, Beano, 20 years ago, would have left for another job. When Virginia Tech was out there at one point, they were an independent, and it wasn't a sexy job.
Yeah, and I think he had a real slow start there, too, Tony.
Yes, he did.
I think he was under 500 after 5 years. He would have never, this day and time, he would have never been given the opportunity to go on forward. Westchester said a couple of things that I agree with 100%. If you're going to move on from a Mark Richt and a Les Miles before they want to leave your program, you dang sure better have the right guy already lined up before you make
that
move.
That's the lesson I learned from the former deal. That is the one lesson. And all politics are local. The one lesson I learned from that former deal, I would still pop former, but you don't pop him without an A, B, and a C candidate you're going to take.
The other thing, and I guess it goes back to Smitty's call, is, you can't take away the disappointment of Florida. There's just no way. This season can't be what it could have been. And if you want to say you don't think Butch Jones will ever be a championship coach, I can understand that as well. But if you can't see that this program is moving forward at a fairly rapid pace and closing the gap on teams in this league, then I don't think you're looking at it.
You're not being honest. You're continually beating on a guy for a game you can't get back. And I get it. The Florida thing is just, it's galling. It's stupid. I get it. It was a stupid loss. It's galling. It's stupid. But you're not changing reality. Reality is, guys, and Dubsy, this is the truth, Tennessee goes on the road tonight. Russell, they go on the road tonight in a terribly hot. That's a terribly hard. It's 30 degrees outside. It's as cold as it's been all year. Playing against a team that's trying to get bowl eligible for a legendary football coach, and just an Alabama-like way, machine-like way, Tennessee goes up there and beats
them apart.
It's the most impressive win in Butch Jones's tenure to this point.
Yeah.
It is. No, it is. For all the circumstances.
I would disagree. It's a very impressive win, and it was, the scoreboard is not indicative of the domination that Tennessee put on that team either. I mean, that was a thorough domination by the Volunteers. You'd like to have another touchdown in there. That would make it look a little bit better, but I mean, they came out from the opening kickoff and were just in complete control of that game.
865-200-5402. Two disparate scenes, one at the end of the Missouri game with a couple guys carrying him off the field. Bino, did you notice how it wasn't the whole team like it was for Beamer? Beamer, it looked like they were doing Hail Beamer up there.
Yeah.
And a crowd there that stayed to cheer him on at the very end. And here you had Pinkel being carried on, and the rest of his players were striking for carrying him. That looked like a divided, looked like a weird deal. And then you have Ezekiel Elliott shooting all over Pretty Boy up there. I bet you Urban Meyer is having some heart palpitations tonight like you can't believe.
Esophageal spasms for sure.
And spasms. Let's go back to our phones. And yes, I did just go there, so live with it. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome on your Smart Way Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction where the fans react.
Hey, Tony, this is Greg. I'm in Middle Tennessee.
Hey, Greg in Middle Tennessee. Great to talk to you.
Hey, I've talked to you a few times, and been a couple times I've missed your show, but I did want to bring up a couple of questions for you guys in reference to the way they played tonight and how you want your team to kind of go through the year and progress every game. Try to do all you can do to score. You know, the guys on the field, they want to score, whether you're high school or your college or your pros. That's the main object, score. And I see this game tonight, and to be honest with you, I'm a big Tennessee fan. I'm glad they won. And it was so boring to me. On my couch, I fell asleep for a little while, woke up. Never done it before. But I'm glad they won, don't get me wrong. But you got to look, your team is going to the last game of the year and then a bowl game. You stagnant. It was all stagnant tonight. Play calling, there were several guys that did very well. One of them, Jalen Hurd, great, great player. He is a fantastic player. But, I mean, it just didn't look together. I don't know. I don't want a team to be stagnant and then try to pick it up again the next week to play the next team on the next Saturday. It just seems like it takes a lot to get going again.
I think Tennessee, I'm going to reject your adjective of stagnant. I think Ohio State this year has been uninspired and bored, and they've been stagnant. I think that Tennessee tonight was purposefully playing within itself. They executed and did what they want to do. Let me read you a couple numbers, okay? And you tell me if this is stagnant, okay? You outrushed your opponent tonight 248 yards to 88 yards. Now, before we unpack it any further, Missouri coming into tonight had one of the better rush defenses in the country and one of the top rush defenses in the conference. And Tennessee ran the ball for 248 yards on that football team tonight. The Vols averaged, with their top three rushers, 4.9 yards per carry. Tennessee had 4.4 yards average per play. They were 4-5 in the red zone, kicking 4 field goals. The other one was a missed field goal. They possessed the football for 36 minutes and 18 seconds to Missouri's 23 minutes and 42 seconds. Now, I get what you're saying. In fact, there was a guy tonight who was a part of Tony Robinson's party. And he fell asleep in his chair watching the game. And I kidded him mercilessly about it. I'll tell you this. I get it. Tonight's game did not contain the wow factor. It didn't. But, Greg, I'll tell you something. To me, the way I've seen this team develop and see this program coming together, the game, when I look at those numbers and when I look at Tennessee's approach, does have a wow factor to it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was great. I mean, a great running game. The running game tonight was great. The don't get me wrong at all. How many times did we punt the ball?
That is a great question.
I'm guessing four, Greg. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I would guess four times.
Was it four? Okay, I didn't know how many it was. It seemed like it was more than that, but anyway.
Yeah, it could be.
But you know, I'm tickled to death they won the game. I just don't want, you know, a team to hit the field and get the feeling amongst themselves that something's being held back here or something. I don't know. I'm like the other guy that called you. I would have loved to see a blowout. I don't know what the point spread was, but I'd love to have seen the blowout instead of a game like this one. I mean, it's just, you know, you had 3-4 yards several times on third down. You couldn't get that when you had a guy running the ball like Hurd was, and he threw some passes to the outside or
yeah.
sidelines
yeah.
that were really not good at all.
No.
I just didn't understand a lot of that. But
it's not his game, Greg. It's just, you know, Trevor Daniel, by the way, punted the ball 7 times tonight for
almost twice as many as I thought.
45-yard average. But it speaks to what you're talking about, Bino, when you thought, and I thought it was three or four myself. When you're a listener watch party, you can't track it like Jimmy Himes. And so I guess in a computer-like precision-like way, I guess is what I'm trying to say, where art meets science and science meets art. But I'll say this to you, Greg, with all due respect. Again, the reason Bino thought the number was low and the reason I thought the number was lower is that Tennessee just did what they had to do tonight. And they didn't do what they wanted to do, per se. When you do what you want to do, you're scoring 50 on somebody. But they did what they had to do, and they were never not in control of that football game. And you know what? We've got to appreciate that. I'm not telling you have to appreciate it, but I'm saying that from a fan standpoint, you got to appreciate the fact that you went on the road in the best conference in America, despite what some people want to tell you, and you beat a guy who's been the best coach in the history of a school in two places rather easily on a cold Saturday night.
You're winning the games again, man. I mean, you're about to
That's exactly right.
You haven't won eight regular season games since 2007.
It's been eight years, man. Yeah, Greg. Yeah. I'm just here to tell you, I hate that you fell asleep. Here's what I'd recommend. Next week, I'm gonna plug a non-sponsor here. But you know what? I'm gonna tie it into a sponsor. Go to your local Pilot Food Mart next week and get you some real good high test. And drink it at about 3:30 before that Vandy game next week.
High test.
Yeah, get you some real dark coffee, the Colombian kind. They sell it. And go for it, Greg. Let it rip, man. And let's stay awake for all four quarters next week, even if we're sleepwalking offensively.
Well, you know, the reason I guess I was really tired today is, you know, we covered some high school football in Ooltewah last night and didn't get home till about 2:00 this morning, so then I got up earlier. But I'll be in your neck of the woods this coming Friday. Marshall County plays Catholic in the semifinals up there. So,
well, come up and see us if you get in the neighborhood, man.
We'll be up covering the game and doing the broadcast of that. So, but anyway, it's been fun talking to you guys again.
Greg, have a great night, okay, buddy?
Man, be careful.
And our best to you on your broadcast as well, and be safe in your travels.
I did a couple of games at Ooltewah back in the day. It's fun.
Fun.
It's a fun place.
High school football's fun. By the way, 865-200-5402. Well, here's a guy on Twitter. You know, look, you can feel what you want to feel. I'm sorry, TB. This is from Patrick Doyle Dotson, PDD. I'm sorry, TB. I'm not wowed at all by Tennessee. We're seeing some average football on the backside of the weak side of our schedule. Patrick, for the last 10 years, we haven't been able to play dead here. I mean, I don't know. Were you expecting Miami of 2002 to show up? Of 2001? You just said it. We're about to win eight games. I don't know.
You were a 7-point favorite, and you won by 11 tonight on the road. Completely dominated that team's
offense.
It's
the best win in my mind. And here's another thing. College football is such a hot mess right now. Vol Colonel, how about this one, Bino? You ready? How bad's this playoff picture look? You think they envisioned this when they put it together? Pick four of the five right now. Iowa, Michigan mistake, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Baylor, Alabama.
So you've got Clemson in there locked in, right?
I don't know what he's saying. Pick four of these five: Iowa, Michigan State, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Baylor. I guess his point is, I think North Carolina is going to beat Clemson. I don't believe in Clemson. I don't. Now that is
that a game this week.
That is a championship game. Right. That is a fraud. Clemson is a fraud. That's a fraud. That's a fraud league.
I think they're a fraud.
That's a fraud league. Put them. I'll tell you this way. You put them in the Southeastern Conference West, and they would lose at least four games.
Yeah.
At least four football. They're not tough. They get run over. See, what happens in this league is you're Ole Miss, and they're celebrating you earlier in the season when you play Alabama, and then you get ground up. And then you get to catch your second leg, your second win like they have.
Saw a great stat today. Ole Miss is the first team since 1988 to beat LSU, Alabama, and Auburn in the same season. If they had blown that Memphis game, I mean, they'd be in this conversation too.
I was just told the lighter the coffee, the higher the caffeine. The longer it's roasted, the darker, but the less caffeine it has in it. Wow, you learn something new every day. No wonder I can't go to sleep after I drink light coffee. Well, Bino, stop it. And by the way, the Vol Colonel just said he had a double brain fart. Which I've been gassy a time or two. I don't know if I've been gassy with my brain, but let's go back to our phones. Somebody said they don't want to hear me burp in their headphones or laying next to their lovely tonight, and they got the headphones on. I'm not burping. I'm actually drinking sparkling water tonight.
Tony, we didn't win by a blowout tonight, but I do believe it was a dominant performance.
It's a blowout. Yeah.
And you know, what we learned tonight is what we've been on the other side of so many times. Give me the best football team over intangibles every time.
You got it. 865-200-5402, and that's why recruiting matters. And it's also an advertisement. We said it earlier. I would 10-1 rather play in the game Tennessee played tonight than the one that Arkansas and Mississippi State played in. Sorry. Give me real football. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. And Patrick Doyle says, the fact is the Vols should have beaten Oklahoma and Florida, but for coaching blunders. Make fun of that. Hey, listen. Whoa, time out. First of all, this is verbal. This is not physical, okay? This is a great, late, great Rowdy Piper once said, before he threw Frank Williams through and destroyed a set and basically threw him off a chair. He told him it was verbal, it wasn't physical, then he proceeded to whip him. But PDD, check it out, bro. First of all, we're not here, I'm not making fun of anything. I'm just saying I disagree with your point. And you can't go back and play the Florida game again. I get it. You can't go back and play the Alabama game. All you can do is play what's in front of you.
Show me an 8-4 team that doesn't feel like two of those losses were blown by their coaching staff. You're 8-4. You're what your record says you are. You were 6-6 last year. Did you honestly expect to go 10-2 this season?
I think people did.
Nobody thought that. Nobody with half a brain thought that. It was 7.5. You've exceeded expectations if you win next week.
Yeah, but
I'm saying it's disappointing. Those losses were gut punches. They sucked. You have still made a giant leap forward this season.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's up, guys? Roberto.
Hey, buddy. Welcome, man.
Hey, thanks. Sorry I couldn't make it tonight. I was on triple patrol by myself. So, I'd have loved to have brought him along, but it sounded like he had a full house anyways. In retrospect, this evening, I'm pretty pleased with the way it went down. I mean, I just think that Butch still is lacking feel. Tony, I agree with you in principle on the running up and running a guy under center on the fourth down and five when you're kicking the field goal. I agree that it ices your kicker. But here's what my position is. You're already up 9 points there. Just go for it. They gave you 5 yards with a horrible offside call. Just go for it. They're not scoring against you. We proved that. They were not scoring more than one touchdown against us all night. It was not happening. And I thought that would be fluky at best. I actually thought their defense may, you know, get a turnover in our area of the field and they may punch it in. They were not beating us tonight. I think everybody on this telecast tonight has totally agreed with that. They were not beating you. As soon as you came out, you're like, well, this is over. Let's go enjoy the Oklahoma State game or the Oklahoma game. Let's go watch those. That brings me to my second thing. Guys, I flipped over the Navy game. And it's going to be an absolute crime if Keenan Reynolds does not make it to New York for the Heisman Trophy candidate, you know, like the last five, if you will. It's going to be criminal. Do you know what kind of records this kid is setting at Navy?
Man, he's a great player. He's a player in college football literally nobody knows about.
I don't know about him.
He's from Good Pasture. By the way, yep. Guys, went to Good Pasture Christian.
Great story.
He is a hell of a football player.
He is he really is.
I think he's going to have 100 career touchdowns. 100. 100. Just put that in perspective, guys. I believe this is his fourth straight year with 1,000 yards rushing. I mean, he's just got absurd stats. And he is their whole offense. And he went down last year with a twisted ankle or something, and they lost the games he was out. Comes back. And they're gonna be in that, what they call them, the New Year's Six or whatever. They're gonna be the team who makes it. Cause they're probably gonna win out. And good on them. And congratulations to him. And it would be criminal if him and Baker Mayfield, and I'll say one other name that nobody's talking about, though he's a great little player, Christian McCaffrey. If those three guys are not in New York, Heisman is a farce, which has also been established anyways. But
how about Baker Mayfield going from a guy we were laughing at to the season he's had?
Now, he got hurt tonight. They almost lost because of it, too.
They're so lucky.
I still think he's a bit overrated.
He's the cog that drives the wheel, though, man. He gets it done.
Yep.
And, guys, how crazy is it that I'm sitting here watching Baylor just pants Oklahoma State with a third-string quarterback going, how the hell is Baylor's third-string quarterback better than anybody we have in Tennessee right now?
Is it that, or is their offense just better?
It's a well-oiled machine, I'll give you that much.
They've also got good players. I mean, think about TCU and Baylor. Everybody said, it's just good systems and everything. They've got good players. They've got better players than Texas. That's why Texas is behind. TCU's got better players.
And they're in a league that doesn't value defense. So
at all.
Guys, I'm going to say one more thing about Dobbs. Some of these offenses that you talk, it's, and Jason Swain's forgotten more than I know about college football. It's not so much Dobbs as it is our offense. There are only a handful of guys in the history of college football that are going to win a championship playing our offense at quarterback. Because you You have to not only be able to run the football, but you have to be able to throw it, and you have to be durable enough to take all those hits and still be able to throw it. Ohio State used three quarterbacks last year. Nobody's going to win the national championship running our offense unless they've got Cam Newton or they got Tim Tebow.
You know, that's fair. I mean, and I don't want to say that I'm dragging Josh Dobbs through the mud. I just was very impressed with what I've seen out of the Baylor, all the Baylor quarterbacks. And again, it may be system. And they got that Coleman guy on the outside who, if you guys don't know who that is, he had 7 in a row multi-touchdown games as a wide receiver. I've never even heard of anything like that. But, you know, college football is very unique this year in that no one is dominant at all. I think every single team is beatable. And Tony, you're dead on with your assessment of Clemson. I don't know if I'd use the word a farce or fake or whatever, but I would say that they're very beatable. But you talk about a team that is an absolute joke that somehow is going to luck into getting the play. Iowa is flipping terrible. Did you watch them against Purdue today?
Oh, they're terrible. If they go undefeated, they should be skipped playing that schedule. Now, people can laugh at that. Bino, are you laughing at that?
Their schedule?
No. Well, no. If they beat, they'll play. Will they play Ohio State now, or they play Michigan State in that?
Michigan State's in the driver's seat.
Okay, now. They play Michigan State. They should, if Iowa wins that game, there should be consideration on whether or not they should be left at home.
I don't disagree. Tony, do you realize they had the 64th ranked strength of schedule coming into this? And Purdue is the lowest ranked Power 5 team in all of college football.
And they played some close games too. They are. Look, I don't mean this to sound the way it's going to sound, but I'm going to sound like Bomani Jones here. Damn, they're white. Thank you, Roberto.
Has anybody
Thank you.
Ever sounded whiter in the history of television than Greg McElroy tonight when referring to Steph Curry said, "Man, that guy has so much game." I think Mark Jones wanted to actually strangle him right there in the press box, which would have been funny in and of itself.
He had street cred.
Another team that'll never win a championship is Baylor, because their defense will never be strong enough to win it, or never be rested enough to win it, and you can't win it throwing it every time either. They went into victory formation today in the shotgun. I wanted to puke.
I'm going to tell you something. If that Iowa team, speaking of puking, if that garbage Iowa team gets to a playoff, that'll be more than my census can stand for 1 year.
I'm pulling for them.
Why are you pulling for them?
Because everybody's hating on them. And
that is kind of a good point. Like an anti-authority kind of thing. 865-200-5402. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're hunting alone, my friends at First Mortgage Lenders will do the hunting for you. Because Jim Baker and the guys there, I'm going to tell you something about Jim Baker. He will make you say PTL for my friends at First Mortgage Lenders. They get it done. Locally owned in the beautiful Halls community, God's Country, USA. 20-year track record of helping the living volunteer find the right mortgage loan product to fit their needs. Doesn't matter whether you're hunting. Any kind of loan you're hunting, they get for you, from a conventional to an FHA, to a VA home loan, to a USDA rural development loan. They got you. 925-0700, online at firstmortgagelendersinc.com. Let's go back to our phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome, Smartway, Dalton Behring, Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome in.
Good morning, gang. This is Don.
Hey, Don.
Hey, wanted to hit on a few things before we get an in some on the game. You was talking about John Cooper early in your broadcast tonight and his little speech he gave over there at the quarterback club or wherever. Not only was he bragging on that, and you probably already know this, he said the problem with the SEC is they just didn't have any quarterbacks. That Ohio State had three better than anybody in the SEC. Maybe he should have found one of them today.
Don, he performed literally, and I say performed, on Urban Meyer over there in front of everybody.
Oh,
like, it should have come with a rating.
Okay. That whole league is just a freaking joke. I got a nephew. Went to Iowa. Still might be in grad school at Iowa. You know, and he was cracking tonight about maybe Florida Atlantic and Georgia Southern and Citadel should join the SEC. So I sent it back and said, well, that would be an improvement over anybody in the Big Ten. But, Russell, just a slight correction on when you were talking about LSU and Tennessee and their records. Actually, if LSU loses next week, they'll be 7-4. If you remember, they didn't play their first game.
That's right.
They're 7-3 right now.
So Tennessee clearly had the best season.
Yep. Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't think LSU could beat Tennessee unless it was just, you know, Fournette just went off. And our defense on the roof. If it's a one-dimension team, I think our defense could keep the guy in check enough to beat them. I seen the other day somebody said the Power Rankings had us 7th, which is behind Florida and pretty much the whole SEC West. And I'm like, no, I'm not sure about A&M, and I'm not sure about LSU necessarily or Auburn. So I think there might have been a little bit off on that. But, you know, guys, sitting here watching tonight, it was not exhilarating football, but I agree, Tony, with you guys. I mean, I never felt, especially once that lead went to 9 points.
Never.
There was any way they were coming back. I made that point to some people across town from you today. I said, Tennessee might pitch a shutout. They don't have to do much. And our friend over there at the other station, he picked Missouri. He bought into the, you know, Pinkel's last game and this, that, and the other. But guy from one of the TV channels, heard him earlier today. He's a Missouri grad. He was at the game and reporting back. He said they weren't expecting 40,000 fans tonight, and they didn't get that. He didn't think there would be a big emotional carryover from last week. He was right about that. And he said he didn't think Tennessee would have that big a problem. And he was right about that. And he's a Missouri grad. So I just think overall we got to be pretty happy. Some of the inconsistent type play calling, you know, killed a few drives. But you know what really killed at least two, if not three drives, is our offensive line. Every time we get pretty, you know, close to scoring range, somebody would move. And bless his heart, Kyler Kurbison, has he had a game this year that he has not had a motion penalty?
You're picking on Kyler Kurbison, Don, after that game tonight?
Well, he did. He did it again tonight when we were down there ready to score again. I was just pointing out that it wasn't all just the play calling. If you gain 5 yards on first down and give it back before the second snap, it's going to tend to slow your offense down a little bit.
Don, we have a quarterback that has trouble throwing the football against a defense like Missouri's. That's Bell's field goal.
I mean, how bad did he miss Josh Smith?
That's what I'm saying. That means field goal. That's Bell's field goal in any language. And what it spells tonight is settle for field goals, take what they're giving you. That's why I wouldn't have fooled around. I'm looking at my third field goal there. I say, you're going to give me four? I'll give you four. Tell you what, guys, you let me kick six field goals, that's 18 points where I come from. I'll kick six of them.
Oh, absolutely. 18 to nothing or whatever would be great. Hey, you've been talking about some of the players nobody knew, like the guy brought up the Navy guy, and, of course, Jalen Hurd to a certain extent. I'll tell you another one, and this point was made by somebody a week or two ago, and he's certainly not hurting himself tonight, and that's the Pirates quarterback out there at Washington State. I think he was 21 out of 23 in the first half. He is. Go look at his stats. You hear about the UCLA quarterback. You hear about the Cal quarterback.
Yep.
You go look at that field kid's stats.
They love the chosen Rosen. They love blowing him up. You're exactly right, Don. The Pirate is getting it done right now, at least offensively at Washington State. And it's taken him a while there to take hold, but he's had a couple of pretty good wins. And, Donnie, thank you, man. Great phone call. Good hearing from you. Picking on Kyler Kerbison? I mean, geez Louise.
I was thinking during the game.
Is it time to shut the lights off tonight?
I was thinking during the game that Kyler Kerbison, what a great season he's had. Nobody talks about it, man. I mean, you can count the times that Dobbs has been pressured from his blind side on one hand. He's played every game. Second highest rushing offense in the SEC. That guy, fifth-year senior, local boy, I mean, he should be celebrated.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. If you were at the game tonight, I'd love to hear from you. If the atmosphere is what we thought it was, if there was something...
You thawed out yet?
Something missing. Yeah, and are you thawed out? I guess now you'd be a couple hours into your automobile. Chances are you'd probably just now be feeling your feet again. If you were as weak as I am.
Tony, we kind of had a double-edged sword tonight, too. In doing what they should have done, which is let the play clock run, which they did well in the second half with the game in hand. In the no-huddle offense, you run those offensive linemen up there, and they stand there, and they stand there, and they stand there, and they stand there, and you clap four or five times. It's a wonder we don't see more of that. Really, Tennessee's pretty disciplined
to
have that happen as few times as it does.
You know, I couldn't agree with that more. And one of the things that has really gotten me about the Butch Jones era thus far is how well coached Tennessee is when it comes to penalties and just playing clean football.
Yeah.
Now, the game management hasn't always been Sterling Golden, but the rest of it, you know, yards penalties tonight. You know, Tennessee only gives up one first down tonight by penalty. When you look at the number of penalties in tonight's game, it's not high. Tennessee has four penalties for 27 yards. I mean, geez Louise.
No turnovers?
Zero turnovers. They did fumble the ball once, didn't lose it.
Fumbled it twice. Evan Berry fumbled it, and
then
Hurd fumbled on the last possession. They got them both back.
I'm just looking at the official numbers. I'm sorry. I mean, what do they know? Missouri, seven penalties for 50 yards. Huh?
That's why you pay me the big bucks.
Well, there's no question. And I love I love that Detroit Tiger hat, by the way. Full disclosure here. It's very cool looking.
Thank you.
Back to our phones we go. Was that a tip pass just caught for a touchdown, or was I seeing things?
Cal trying to make a game of this thing.
Let's go back to the phones. If you were at tonight's game, I'd love to hear from you. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony. How are you, buddy?
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I just wanted to talk about a few things. I didn't see, I didn't listen to the first half of the show, but there was a third down, short yardage that Kamara just got ate up on. And I'm just curious, what do you guys think? Why wasn't Hurd in on that? I think it was like 9-0, something like that. And Kamara was in there and just got his lunch ate. I'm not saying that Hurd would have gotten more yardage, but why on short yardage is Hurd not in there? Does anybody have anything to say about that?
Well, I think a lot of times what you're going to have there is Gillespie, your running backs coach is going to, rotation of backs, falls to them, and it might have just been his turn in the rotation. Look, I'm with you from the standpoint of if I need a tough inside yard or need something short yardage, I'm putting the ball in Hurd's hands. Period. End of sentence.
A yard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something like that.
Yeah, Kamara's my.
If we need that. We're just going to knock that in.
Sure, Kamara's my home run guy. Kamara's my satellite player. Kamara's my guy that can do so many other things, but.
You know, we say that,
yeah.
But I had forgotten this. They showed his size. Kamara weighs 215 pounds. He's not a little scat back. That's Montario Hardesty's size. He was a guy who could slam it in between the tackles. I'm with you guys. I mean, you'd prefer to have Hurd in there, obviously, in those short yardage situations. But I remember that series you were talking
about. It seems like with a defense like Missouri, the eighth in the country,
yep.
You know, and they're coming at us. It seems like in that kind of situation, I'm not sure about this, but we were down 9-0 or we were up 9-0, I'm sorry. And it was 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2. Why don't you just look? I've never been a bully in my life, but if you're in a position to put your hand on somebody's head, and to just make a move and just say, this is what we're going to do. Why don't you do that? Why are you relegating it to Kamara? Why wouldn't you just give it to your guy and just let him do the thing right there?
Yeah, it's hard for me to argue, especially on a night where he is, having a career night on the road. I don't think
I know exactly when you're talking about, and I wondered the same thing. But I did see, I wondered why he wasn't in there during that series. And they showed him right before we took a first down play, and it looked like he was trying to stretch something out over there. I'm not saying that was the case, but I don't know that maybe Hurd wasn't struggling a little bit with some kind of leg issue during that one series. I could be mistaken, but it looked like he was stretching on the side.
Or it could have been that it wasn't his turn in the rotation. And he's just over there trying to stay warm on a cool night too, Bino.
But yeah, down in distance, he should have been in there on that play rather than Kamara.
It's a worthwhile point, no question.
And can I just say this, guys? You know, regardless of where your things lie, aren't we just all happy that Ohio State lost? This is just great.
Beautiful.
Ohio State lost
Beautiful.
The game today. This is so fantastic.
You know what would have so made fantastic. It better? You know what would have made it better? Is if the officials in that Florida game would have taken care of business there, and we could have gotten, and we could have seen Florida beat by a directional school down there. That would have made, but it.
No, I don't think that would have been, I think that would be awful, Tony. That's horrible.
Oh, I'm
that
sorry.
That would be horrible for us to think that we completely pooped the game away against Florida, and Florida Atlantic comes in and beats them in overtime.
No, it would have been really great. No, I was.
Oh, no.
I'm 100%. I could never, in any way, shape, or form, think that Florida winning is good in my eyes, but it's just not in my, it just doesn't compute with me, but I do appreciate the call. Thank you. And great talking with you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. It's a win I celebrate tonight for those just joining. It's a game I look at tonight and say, man, this program has really progressed. This Tennessee program has really progressed. That is my theme tonight on your Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. We've had people say, oh, yeah, it was kind of boring, and it made me fall. One guy said it made me fall asleep. And I get it. There was not a lot of drama in tonight's football game. which, when you are aspiring to be an elite college football program, give me some boring games. Hey, give me some boring games. It's okay. It's okay. I get it. Give me a few boring games. It ain't gonna hurt me. Take the air out of it.
I hope next week is boring.
Amen. You took the word
24-6.
I know the schedule has lightened up considerably.
Yep.
But we've asked this staff to learn, and they've learned.
Amen.
They ran the play clock tonight.
Yep.
They brought pressure in big situations in third and distance. We've learned as this season's gone along.
865-200-5402.
Only thing I'll question, and I mean, you guys questioned the field goal thing where they tried to draw them off sides or whatever. After Missouri scores their touchdown at Tennessee's working clock, I would have ran it on that third down and four. Just keep the clock running. It turned out not to hurt them at all, but I thought that was a little bit puzzling. They rolled Dobbs out to his right and he had to kind of throw it away. But I mean, if these are the things that we're questioning, and we're not talking about charts or, you know, a field goal on the 1-inch line or stuff like that, that's progress.
Tonight's game was well in hand. Before we go back,
hey, you want to question something? How about Pinkel punt?
Yeah, what was up with that?
Left. He was already had 1 foot out the door.
And that
if
was
that's
not
my last game at home. You think I'm punting there?
Again, this leads back to your theory. Well, no, it's not your theory. It's my theory. I don't think that was his decision to go.
Tell me.
Now, listen. I think that's a divided deal, and I think that's a spiteful thing there to punt that football.
Now, Tony, if you're going to go all Alex Jones.
No, I'm not going.
Do the Alex Jones voice. Come on now.
No, wait a second. I think that there's more than leads the eye to that deal. I'm not saying that it's a false diagnosis. I'm saying
there was a false flag punt.
The timing of that, Bino, the timing of it, something about it smells, and something about the lack of fan enthusiasm. We've got a guy on hold that was there tonight who wants to share with us what he saw, because the air was out of that thing very early in that game for Missouri. As I remind you, Smartway presenting tonight's activity. I want to thank my friends there. GoSmartway.net online. 8416 Kingston Pike out near Bearden High School. And the deal is anything you need for your home, from furniture to appliances to cell phones, tires, you name it, they've got it. Smartway. And they've got several ways to go. You can pay in full today and have it delivered for free. Or take the item out with you. 120 day or 6 months same as cash, let it rip. Or a lease purchase agreement, also known as lease or rent to own. And the deal there is, if you're short on some cash, you set your terms, and then you can change your terms. In other words, how much you pay and how often you pay, whenever you'd like. They just rip up that agreement, you get a new one. That's why we call it the Smart Way. Check them out online, gosmartway.net. Let's go back to our phones. And I asked earlier for someone to make the call. And answering the call of me making the call, Anthony tells me, is Doug from Jacksonville. We went up tonight from Jacksonville to Missouri. And so he's answered the call. Is he going to grab a moose head? I don't know. But he's answered the call, and here he is. Doug in Jaxie is in with us. Doug, the mood in that place tonight. Bino, share with Doug, who couldn't have heard what you said earlier when we first got on. I want to take his temperature as somebody that saw that thing in person tonight. Bino, share with him what you said to me earlier before, as we got started. Bino, are you there? Doug and Jaxie, are you there?
I am there.
All right.
I am here.
You're here, there,
no, Bino?
Bino, are you there?
Bino's checked out.
Bino has checked out. Let me see what happened to Bino.
Bino had some bourbon.
Let me ask Bino now. Bino, are you back? Bino. Okay.